Ah, no problem. Yeah. Brian Teo? Where is Brian Teo? Oh, started already. On already. Okay. Okay, very good morning to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today happened to be the 18th of June, 2017, which is also Father's Day. Yeah? So we are having our this the month of June house dana at Christina's house. So first of all, on behalf of Christina, we'd like to welcome all Kayamita to partake in this rather wholesome monthly dana. Then, as usual, we'd like to thank Christina and family for hosting this house dana so that we may have this wholesomeness together. Then we will also like to thank all those who have helped bring all the food and whatever to make this particular house dana a very, very meaningful and successful one. Yeah? So now it's about time for us to start the puja. Before we start the puja, maybe we will also have the puja offering. Yeah? Okay, hopefully by before 12 we can have our lunch. Huh? Now it's 11:33 or 34. Okay, let us pay homage, the salutation. Then after that, we will do the puja offering. Let us recall to mind all of our wholesomeness, our faith, sadha, our virya, spiritual zeal. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Kuan Si Yin Pusa, Namo Kuan Si Yin Pusa, Namo Kuan Si Yin Pusa, Namo Si Jia Mo Ni Fo, Namo Si Jia Mo Ni Fo, Namo Si Jia Mo Ni Fo, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, now we will chant the Namo Tassa salutation, followed by the three refuge. Then we will end with the five precepts, because we didn't have the chanting book here. But you are already familiar with the significance of all the puja offering. So later, after we offer the puja offering, then straight away we just rejoice, then you can have your lunch. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dityampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Dityampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu mitachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jema. Padang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, we can now prepare for puja offering. You can light the candle and the incense, your family members. Then, whoever you want to invite, huh? Let us all stand. Huh? Then we rejoice. It's okay. Never mind, it's okay. Yeah. After serving, we use the colors. Sadhu. Oh, they don't have a tree. Yeah. Sadhu. Sadhu. Yeah, Pastor Branson. Yeah. No, the aircon. The blow. The aircon blow it off. Yeah. Yeah. 等一下，要拿些。 No, 你放这个在。 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay. We have to offer the food item. Huh? They are all at the back, isn't it? Yeah, okay, we go to the back and make the offering. Okay. Let us touch the table. Yeah? Then we can rejoice together. I think somebody just came in, brought something. Is that you want to offer? Yeah. You want to offer? Yeah, you can offer. Yeah. Put it on the offering table. Yeah. Just put it on the offering table. Yeah. Can put here also. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Together we shall rejoice. Huh? You can touch the back of all those people. Then for those in front, you touch the offering table. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. You can have your lunch now. Yeah? We are early today, yeah? So you can have longer lunch. You can have 1 hour 15 minutes. Yeah? We will meet back here at 1 o'clock. Yeah? Okay.
Brother Song 不可以过来。
Okay, since there is a request that we celebrate Father's Day on behalf of all those who are father. Then last month we had Mother's Day then. So now it's Father's Day. No, it's okay, don't worry. It's just something that you all can develop the joy. No need to call everybody. More important is you all rejoice. Rejoice with all this wholesomeness. Whether mother or father, they are important parents. Without them, you don't have the condition to come to this world. And most parents have love. And their love is very different. You can read the message there, I think Christine on the other side of the wall. This side is very easy. Live, love, and laugh. So this is one of the way to express good life. You live life. You don't exist through life. Then you must have love. Then you will have a lot of joy, laughter, and all those things. Then they got all the beautiful family photo, the gathering. But the other side, what is the other side? Then in front of you, Jinhao. The ten what? This is to allow you to reflect on the greatness of your parent and son, how they love and sacrifice for you, provide for you, care for you, without any selfish intention. They only wish for your best when you grow up. And they can sacrifice everything that they have for you, for your education, for your future. When you are sick, they care for you. They love you. They give everything. Then when they are old, it's your duty, huh, to actually repay their kindness, the filial piety and all those things. So this is to teach you how to appreciate what your parent has given you. Then you see the other side of the wall, this side. That one is from Chi Ji on, I think, Sang Ren. I don't know whether it's a Jing Si or what, but it's very good. You know, it's stated there, when you do what you need to do, that is wisdom, it's your duty. But when you do those things that you are not supposed to do, that is ignorant. Understand? Not supposed to do means what? Go against the moral code. Through selfishness, through your emotion, your fear, your delusion, you do all those things that you're not supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is your duty as a parent, your duty as a child, your duty as somebody in this world, as a human being. You have your duty towards nature, towards those who love you, care for you, provide for you. So this is what Dhamma is all about. So those who understand, simple word can mean a lot of things. But those who don't understand, all of your action is out of your own self-delusion. That's why it's selfishness behind. You take for granted what your parent has sacrificed for you and given you. Then when you grow up, you somehow become naughty. You don't like them. You hold on to a lot of memory when you throw your tantrum and they do certain things which you can't understand out of love, but you think they don't love you. Then after that, later on in life, when they pass away, then you go back and see all the things that they have done for you, you start to regret. That is too late. So understanding has to come when you have that condition to feel for them. Don't always think of yourself. Always think of what your parent has done for you, sacrifice for. Don't look down upon them, because their generation is one generation before you. They may be poor. They may not have the ability to bring you up like what other more fortunate family, but they really try their best. They give you all that they have. And you don't have appreciation for that. You don't have the understanding to actually thank them for what they have done. Means you are not a filial piety child. You are a child with a lot of delusion, selfishness. And you don't do your duty. When it's your turn to support them, provide for them, care for them, you never do all those things. So what will happen is, law of karma is very fair. In future when you come, you will have the same children that will react back to you. Take what you have done for them for granted. But if you really have the understanding, the Dhamma, you appreciate what they have done and sacrificed for you, and you thank them profoundly, profusely, then you really care for them, love them, understand them, and give them the good moments and good life when they are old. What they need is just to see you successful in life. Is that so difficult? And to hear a word of thanks from you. Just your sincere thanks. You appreciate what they have done for you and provide. Just these few words, they don't expect anything more than that. And they can have a lot of joy when they see their child having this filial piety and understanding. So Father's Day and Mother's Day to me is to remind children what you have to do, because they are your parents. You can never replace your parents' love, according to the Buddha, even if you were to carry them on your shoulder for 100 years. You cannot repay their kindness, their goodness, and their sacrifice, and what they have done for you, giving you life and all those things, protection and all those things. So this is the great economy of parents. If you have gratitude, understanding, you will really, really develop your path, have great filial piety. Out of understanding and love, care for them, provide for them, look after them, talk to them, spend more time with them. So with this, we will wish everybody happy Mother's Day and Father's Day. Sadhu, sadhu. Then we will blow the candle for Father's Day on behalf of all father in this room. Then we also like to thank our parents. Some of our parents may have passed away, like my parents. But my love and gratitude towards them, how I appreciate what they have done for my nature when I was young, since birth until they passed away. That love, that fellow piety, that understanding was very strong, and I invoked the power of merits for their happiness, their joy, their future prosperity. Then I invoke a pure wish for there to be causes and conditions for them to realize this beautiful teaching, so that they too can walk the path of Dhamma to realize whatever they wish to, their pure and noble wishes. Okay? So with that, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we blow the candle. I don't know why they want to blow the candle. You know why? This is light, wisdom. You blow, gone. Why you want to blow it off? You should keep it burning. But there is another understanding. No, Nibbana is cessation. You blow because you want to realize this cessation, understand not? Why do you still want to cling on to the light? Understand not? When you want to come back, then you need the light. But when you don't wish to come back, you don't need the light. Understand not? That's why understanding free the mind. So either way, blow or don't blow, is still a good omen. Okay, now we blow, for the good of all, so that you can at least realize this cessation. Then you decide whether you want to come back or not. You can choose to come back. But if you don't have this ability, you cannot choose to come back. Then you cease, finish. But the worst is you have to come back. Then that one you got no choice. Your karma not finished. You have to come back. So either way, we blow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good. So I really rejoice. It so happened it's Father's Day. Then they wanted this. Maybe meant to be. The teaching has to come out. Understand? So at least now you understand the deep meaning behind parents. To develop your understanding, the philopiety and all those things. Then as parents, you feel great, you feel honored because you have played your role. You have done what you have to do. So like that saying at the back, when you know how to do what you're supposed to do, that is wisdom. Will you do your duty when you come? This may not be you, but the law of karma recognizes relationship, form and mind. As parent, you need to play your role. You need to do your duty. As fellow human beings, we need to contribute towards humanity, towards our planet, towards the universe. So this is what Dhamma is all about. My teacher, Acharyantra, used to say, right duty is right Dhamma, right Dhamma. If you don't know how to do your duty, you don't have Dhamma. As simple as that. You understand? If you are selfish, you only care for yourself. You don't do your duty towards your children, towards your parents, towards your neighbors, even your colleague, your friend, your brothers, your sister, your loved ones, and all those things. The moment you fail to understand all this, whatever you do in the name of meditation, you can forget about it, because you are not developing the true understanding of Dhamma. You can go and tell people, I meditate, I do vipassana. No meaning. Here you are so selfish, so ignorant, so deluded. Wow, this is the sign that I have to stop. Okay, we stop, then we continue there. 萨德萨德萨德萨德 Thank you for the signal. The timing is very good, huh? The alarm was exactly on the dot, 1 o'clock. Huh? You look at the clock at the back. Yeah, you can go, no problem. Sadhu, sadhu, yeah. Sadhu, Okay, I see you, yeah. Okay, so now exactly 1 o'clock, yeah. We can continue our second session, yeah, after your lunch. So how was your lunch? Huh? Very good lunch, huh? Because all the food was so good. it was on all the while, don't worry. So just now I recorded, don't worry. Okay, so as usual, huh? We would like to thank the host, Christina and family, for inviting us all over here to have a beautiful house dana and some beautiful sharing of the Buddha Dhamma. Now is our second session after lunch. We will normally open up the topic for discussion. So if you have any particular question, or something that you want to understand, you just have to raise your hand, then we pass you the mic. Anybody? You all don't have. That's why Christina, very smart, very wise. He knew sure nobody else. Then she sent me the WhatsApp yesterday. She said, what deal can we discuss this? I read to you what she sent me. This is quite a good topic because a lot of cultivator or Buddhist don't have the understanding, even humanity. According to her, she said, morning, Brethil, appreciate if you could expound the Dhamma, how to have good communication and harmony relationship. It should be harmonious relationship among all, without any anger, hatred, jealousy, gossiping, and wrong view towards others. For our tomorrow sharing. Then she said, sadhu for your enlightening and profound teaching. Then after that, she got something to add. She said, to my little understanding, why am I attached to those suffering state of mind are due to self-delusion, sakkayaditti, which is very true. She came to that understanding. The second reason is habitual tendency of wanting things to happen according to what you want, means to your way. Then the third reason is wrong view or perception towards others, means you perceive others negatively. Then fourth is not cultivating forgiveness, compassion, or a compassionate heart. Then the fifth one is pointing finger at others, seeing others' bad character only and blaming them. So all this is also self-delusion, sakkayaditti. There is a mark of a self, there is a mark of others. That's why all this will not end. Then number six, not contented and grateful. You should add the word appreciative towards those who have helped us before. Or care for us before, or sacrifice for us before, like our parents, good friends, and all those things, or sincere Dhamma friends. Then number seven is, we do not have strong faith or belief towards the Buddha Dhamma. When your faith is lacking, you will not investigate, you will not develop the contemplative understanding and meditate towards the understanding. That's why all these are very true. Then number eight, not ready to give ourselves up, which means not ready to give myself a change, as I am staying at the comfort zone. So inability to have all this is because of your self-delusion. You think there is a being living life, cultivating, wanting to change and all those things. Actually, it's none of all this. You only need to understand that this form of mind is not you. It's a vehicle and a tool for you to come to develop the wisdom. Without wisdom and without understanding, you cannot change. You cannot be a blessing to all. Because the word wanting to change got no meaning. Yeah, it's from the thought. The thought will tell you all those things. And the thought is egoic. So it has its own ideas. Ideas are what they call illusion. Yeah, it's not a reality. The actual freedom comes from wisdom, nothing else. Without wisdom, nothing free. Everything is binding. That's like the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the physical form and mind of the living being, and the mental five aggregate of form and mind, which is the thought process. And the Buddha said, the moment you deludedly grasp and cling and attach to them, suffering will be the result. So if you still cannot see that they are not real, not you, they are impermanent characteristics leading to suffering, non-self and empty nature, you will always be afflicted. You will never be able to free your mind, to raise above all this delusion or ignorance. Then number nine, using too much of the mundane mind instead of the true mind, with all short of others, shortcoming. Okay. So this is very true. We are living being only understand the thinking mind, the mundane mind, and the condition arising mind. Seldom they have the condition to understand the true mind. Even they may have glimpses of it once a while or once a blue moon, but they never knew what that thing was. Yeah. So this number nine one is very true. Then he said, hope that you can help me overcome all my bad habits by enlightening me with some Dhamma, sadhu. Yeah. Then I replied, I said, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I said, okay, I will do that. Yeah, that's how all this come about. Yeah. So today's sharing is, I repeat, how to have a good communication and harmonious relationship among all, without hatred, jealousy, gossiping, and wrong view towards others. So this is the main topic. Then the other one is more important, which is how to develop the cultivation so that we can have this type of mind that will enable us to live life this way, not the usual heedless, deluded way. Yeah. So today's topic is very important, very unique. Yeah? So I hope you all can pay attention. Yeah? You see, the Buddha's teaching is very simple, but it is very profound. If you understand his teaching, you will be able to develop the wisdom to understand all this. Then you can liberate your mind. Then you can do what Christina wants to develop. To live a harmonious life. Yeah. To live a truly meaningful life. Yeah. So that there will be no negativity, no selfishness, no delusion, no envy, no jealousy, no views and opinion about people. Which means you understand clearly there is no living being, no mark of a self, no mark of others, and all those things. And this understanding is not easy to come by. Then what she is also concerned with is the other part which she wrote to me later on. She wants to understand, how can we help those people who don't have the Dhamma understanding, that get involved with the wrong livelihood and all those things. So I told her, this question comes from the thought. Forget about it. Because if you cultivate, the moment you have the understanding, the question becomes irrelevant, no more meaning. So focus on your own cultivation. If you yourself cannot free and liberate from all this, you try to help all these people, it got no meaning. Like the Buddha said under the Salika Sutta, if you yourself are trapped in a quagmire, you know what is a quagmire? It's like a cesspool or a soft area trapped inside there. How can you help to take people out of it? You can't even free yourself, you can't free others. So to help, you need to develop your own personal cultivation. Initially, I used the word personal is because that form of mind, which is within the conditioned world, although it's not a permanent and changing entity, is the instrument that you come with, and you have to use that to develop the understanding. That's why that one must develop the wisdom. So focus on the cultivation to develop this wisdom. Then when this form of mind has this understanding and this wisdom, then it has the capacity to do something, to be a blessing to all, to the world. Then at that time when you do, it's not through delusion anymore. You will do through understanding. When there is condition, then you will know how to share, manifest, and do what you have to do. Just like the Tzuji saying, when you know how to do the thing that you're supposed to do, you have wisdom. But when you don't have the understanding to do what you're supposed to do, you do things that you are not supposed to do, then it becomes ignorant delusion. What are the things that you're not supposed to do? When conditions are not there, you also want to help. That is, in Hokkien, what they say, kepo. No condition. You yourself, through your egoic mind, you want to help. And people don't like the way you approach them, because you yourself has not changed, understand? But if you are cultivated and you yourself have changed, and people can see the change in you, and when there is condition, you just manifest and talk to them. But the way you talk to them is so different. You hold the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And this Noble Eightfold Path, always remember, will free you from all suffering. That's why in the Fourth Noble Truth, the Buddha specifically mentioned, if you were to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this is what you're supposed to do. And what is Noble Eightfold Path? There are three parts, the Buddha said. Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Sila is what? What is Sila? Sila is what? Morality, power factor. So morality is the first thing that you must have. Morality is keeping your precept so that you can avoid all evil. Then after that, the other part of morality is to arise the four right effort to cultivate all the goodness, the wholesomeness that you're supposed to cultivate. So avoiding evil and doing good wherever there is condition are the first two advice of the Buddha. And this is the sila aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path. So to have the sila, what do you need? You need to have right view, right understanding as to what is good and what is evil. If you don't understand what constitutes evil, then how can you avoid all evil. How can you keep the precept? You keep the precept without understanding, no use. It's like you are suppressing, trying not to do. When we say we undertake the training rule to abstain from either killing, stealing, or committing sexual misconduct and other things, means we really, through understanding, undertake that training rule not to do it, because we understand this will lead to evil. We are people who violate the precepts, the five precepts. They are evil people, in the sense that they have the evil roots of greed, hatred, or delusion. The very, very deep-rooted one is delusion. It's always there. And because of delusion, there will be either greed or hatred, or fear, or envy and jealousy and all those things. Sometimes it's a combination of three, sometimes it's a combination of two. The evil roots of greed and delusion, or the evil roots of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, and delusion. But delusion is always there. And because of delusion, there is always the selfishness, the greed behind. Then, of course, delusion also leads to fear. So what constitutes evil has to be understood. That's why the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you must expand on it, understand it very clearly. Then only you can cultivate the precept. And to have the ability to cultivate the precept, you must develop the next spiritual faculty after Saddhavirya, is sati, mindfulness, awareness. That's why all meditation lead to this training to develop the spiritual faculty. Saddhavirya, you can do it without the formal meditation. But when it comes to sati, mindfulness, you have to develop it through the formal meditation, so that when you come out of it, if in the formal meditation you also cannot develop mindfulness, then when you come out of it, your senses are fully engaged. It's almost impossible for you to develop it. That's why the daily mindfulness can only come about when you have stabilized it in the formal meditation, or you have developed the spiritual faculty, so that the mental hindrance are not there. So this is the cultivation, and this is the most difficult, to develop mindfulness, daily mindfulness, a very stable sati, so that you can have the ability to see your mental intention behind everything you do, whether it's action, speech, or thought process. As a Noble Eightfold Path has this ability to lead you into this cultivation. And this cultivation demands a lot of sincerity, a lot of faith, and of course, perseverance or diligence to really cultivate the spiritual faculty, especially sati. So when sati is there, then you understand what constitutes evil. Then you can cultivate. Understand? Then you can undertake the training rule to abstain, not to commit all this evil roots that will lead to the violation of the precept. Then you can see your mental intention very clearly. When you want to kill and harm, who will do it? Deluded people who think you can have advantage. That's why there is greed, there is selfishness behind. Sometimes there is anger, there is emotion, you become violent. So you want to react out, you want to kill, you want to harm. So those who violate the first precept, you realize they are deluded people who has all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you have this understanding and when you are mindful, you cannot do it, because this will lead to karmic negativity, downfall, suffering. Then whatever Christina wrote there, you can never achieve or realize. How can there be harmony when you are selfish? When you perceive people with negativity, all the nine reasons that she gave, true wrong view and all those. So all this is the Dhamma. So what you need to do is, the first aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path need to be understood, the Sila part. It comes from the Buddha's understanding of the law of karma. That's why the Buddha, in his five daily contemplation, he constantly asked the monk to reflect on it. Daily contemplation, the five daily contemplation. The first three is regarding our body, this body of ours. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. And you have to reflect deep, so that you understand its meaning. When he talks about this body, it means the four elements. That's why it cannot be you. It goes the way of nature. If it goes the way of nature and it is not you, why must you cling onto it, hold on to it, and worry about it getting old, getting sick and die? You do what you have to do. You need to take care, you take care. You need to attend to it, you attend to it. You can love it with all your mind, but you do not attach through delusion. You do not hold on to all this through delusion. And when you don't have a mark of a self, your evil root will not have the power to condition you into coming negativity. Because when the ego, the personality sees the mark of a self cultivating, existing, sees, then who is selfish? Who is getting angry? Who is deluded? All this will cease. But this one need realization, need wisdom. It's very difficult to have unless you have the parami and you have developed the right cultivation or practice to awaken. So this is why it is so difficult for those who don't have the understanding. The moment you have understanding, this becomes very easy. You just focus on the cultivation, like I advise Christina. Forget about what the thought tell you. Forget about even wanting to help people, because if you yourself cannot have this understanding, you cannot help yourself, you cannot love yourself, it's impossible for you to help others and love others. You have to free yourself first. Free yourself means the five aggregate of form and mind, the segmented life, form and mind. Free it from delusion, so that that wisdom that can be developed arise and is connected to this five aggregate of form and mind. And when this five aggregate of form and mind have this understanding, then this one is no longer deluded. Then you can say, this one has the Dhamma, this one has awakened. Then this one can live life, can do whatever it wants to do to help people, to be a blessing to all. That's how the cultivation and the practice is to be developed. The first part maybe is quite easy, yeah? Avoiding evil. But the second part, I realize a lot of people never cultivate. To cultivate whatever wholesomeness and goodness. This one, wherever there is condition, you're supposed to develop them. And this is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. When you have right view, the first path factor, you will know how to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And what is right view? Like I mentioned just now, the five daily contemplation, the first three relate to this body. The fourth one relate to separation from all your loved ones and prized possession. That is to tell you that all these are not real. They are condition arising, dependent originating. When condition is there, it appears that you own. But when condition cease to be, it cease to be. It's just like the Mandarin saying, 生不带来,死不带去. You understand that, isn't it? But you didn't reflect. When you are born into this world, you bring along nothing. When you die, you also cannot take along anything. That's why they have another saying, is it? When you come, means when you are born into this world, you come empty, lai ye kong. When you leave this world, when you die, qi ye kong. You also cannot take along anything. You come empty-handed, you go empty-handed. Then why do you in between grieve, suffer, and become miserable over emptiness? 那么施主啊，何必苦苦为空流泪呢？ If you awaken to this number, you will not have any of this delusion to argue with people, to get angry, to become emotional, to become fearful, to become so deluded. You don't have time for all this stupidity, this ignorance, and this nonsense, understand or not? It's only the deluded one hold on to all this, because it is not what you think. Everything is not what you think. But the Buddha say, there is such thing as life. There is such thing as a fine aggregate of form and mind. There is such a thing as a living being or a human being. That's why in the fifth daily contemplation, he said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma, every moment, every instant. When he says we, he is referring to your segmented life, this five aggregate of form and mind. Just like this line, this predictio you call is my five aggregate of form and mind. This segment of my life, that this nature come. If you understand it this way, you have this right view, life after life, and you arise. Whether you have to come or you choose to come, your understanding will free you, will liberate you. And when you understand that there is this nature's law called law of karma that governs all of life and existence, and like the Buddha said, this law of karma is so powerful. We are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. So what are you waiting? What must you do when you understand this right view? That's why every day you must contemplate. What must you do? Take care of karma. That's how the teaching come about. And how do you take care of karma? Avoid all evil, which I have already spoken just now. Then do good. So that you will have the good karma, the merits, the blessing, the wholesomeness, to give you the good life. Because the law of karma is very simple. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. So you have to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness. If you have reflected on this, then you will know what the cultivation is all about. You will never allow your form and mind to make any more mistakes. That's why you determine to avoid all evil, not to repeat all these wrong things. Then you make aspiration, life after life, to have this understanding, so that you will always train your mind to have that spiritual faculty, the mindfulness, to see clearly all your mental intention, so that you will not fall. Your karmic nature will arise. Then you have to cultivate using initially the four right effort to actually develop the ability to avoid all evil and do good. So the first two right effort is to help you develop the ability to avoid all evil. The Buddha said when you are aware through mindfulness that the unwholesome thought or the wrong thought or the wrong speech and the wrong action has arisen, what must you do? You must arise the right effort to abandon those wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action or wrong livelihood. How many of you have done that? Very good. If you have done that, it's very good. I sadhu, I rejoice. But very few people put that into practice. Because to abandon it is not easy. The Buddha said there are five ways to abandon. The first two are thought-based. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. To me, it's not much use. But if you got no other means initially, you may have to use that. Otherwise, you get yourself entangled in life. And a lot of people find it very difficult to overcome the unwholesome thought. They say, this wrong thought keep on coming to haunt them. That's how they get into depression. That's how they get into restlessness. Make them very confused. That's how it leads to conflict, argument, misunderstanding. That's why living beings get into trouble, create unnecessary negativity of mind that lead to disharmony, misunderstanding, argument. All this will lead to conflict, lead to more and more division, leading to more and more conflict and suffering. Sometimes it leads to war. It leads to separation of relationship through anger, through hatred, through different views and opinions. And all this can become very disruptive, like what Christina has realized. So she wants to understand how to develop a mind that can overcome all this. So to develop a mind that can overcome all this demands understanding. Understanding is, first, think of the direct opposite wholesomeness. Means when you have anger, hatred, you must radiate love and metta towards that person or towards that thing or that phenomena. Then when you have love, you cannot have anger. That's why this is useful, but it is not a solution, permanent solution. It's a temporary solution. So the Buddha teach you how to move on, he said. The second way is to identify the consequence, the danger of allowing this wrong thought to arise. Because these are wrong thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your evil roots. It will lead to negativity or karma, downfall. So when you understand all this, what must you do? Huh? The consequence of it is so negative towards you there. Bring to negativity of mind, cause your coming negativity, downfall. And the fruition of it, you are going to suffer, to be afflicted. So what must you do? You have to abandon it, understand? Huh? That's how you will determine through your own understanding, where you see the danger, the consequence of allowing it to stay there, where is the root of all evil, make you evil, and cause your coming negativity and downfall, and you somehow don't want to abandon it. That's why you have to do something, the right effort to abandon it. When you see the danger, you will do it. And the best way to do it is, the Buddha said, the third and the fourth way. The third way is, don't be deluded by it. When anger arises, or selfishness arises, or fear arises, or the wrong speech arises, wrong action arises, you must be aware. Aware that these are all evil roots, negativity, lead to karmic negativity and downfall. The moment you are aware, what happened to your mind? Yeah? What happened to your mind? Aware means what? You're just aware. Don't try to reason. Understand? The problem is, cultivator, in inverted comma, or Buddhist, they use the thought to analyze. Understand? They are not following the advice of the Buddha. Maintain awareness. Just be aware. Then when you are aware, like what we learned, from the four foundations of mindfulness. When you are aware that there is anger, there is hatred, there is fear, what happens? You will cease to be, understand? When you just maintain awareness, don't try to reason, don't try to stir and react, what happens? You're just aware, means no thought. No thought means no right, no wrong. Understand? No more evil, no more fear, no more worry. I just stay with it, be with it. Then I realize, without any wrong view, without any stirring of mind, reaction of mind through wrong view, the wrong thought cannot arise. it will cease to be. I don't give any meaning to all those things because I know this is delusion. It's the thought creating various views and opinion idea to distort your understanding. So when I see things as they are, I just silent and aware, then this being conditioned arising state will cease. Then when it ceases, what happens? You come to know how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. How the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action cease to be. By not doing anything. Just like the analogy the Buddha gave to Ananda when he asked him to collect the water. When nothing disturbed the water settled down and become clear again. So your mind is the same. The mind without wrong view that does not stir is already in the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why the natural state of mind is already aware. Sati. Without the evil roots. The evil roots of anger, hatred and delusion, they are external to the mind. They arise through condition, through wrong view. So see this clearly and understand it. Then you realize, if you can just maintain the silent mind, the awareness, and stay with it, then it will cease to be. Then when it ceases to be, your understanding becomes different. That's why when you maintain mindfulness in the future, when the unarisen mental hindrance arise, you will come to know how it arises. You will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance or anger, hatred and fear or delusion comes to be. Then you realize always from one of your sense door through wrong view. Then you straighten your view. Develop the understanding of what the Buddha shared and what I have shared with you. People are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Fearful people do fearful things. They are just the way they are. So if I can accept them for what they are, at peace, I have right view. You have to straighten your view to have this understanding. Then you don't perceive people with negativity, like what Christina mentioned. Then all this wrong view, wrong thought will cease to be. But this one needs cultivation, needs stability of understanding. First time, you may fail. Then you realize you still get angry. Never mind. Contemplate deep into it on what I have shared with you. Empty nature, existence. You come empty-handed. You go empty-handed. Then in between, why fight? Why struggle? Why perceive negativity and do all these funny things? Over emptiness. Not real, not what you think. So you can just silent and come to that understanding. Then that right view will become wisdom. Then you will become like Yoniso Manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sensei. The next time you see the same person or hear the same abuse, this understanding will come up. It will give you the right view. People are just the way they are. Or, what the Buddha said, Sabbe Sankara Anicang. Sabbe Sankara Dukkang. Straight away it ceases. It cannot arise because of that understanding, that wisdom you have contemplated before. You straighten your view. People are just the way they are. Then instead you develop compassion, love. Instead you arise the mind that has this compassion. You feel for them. Then you can even say like what Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Through ignorance they became like that. That's why you will not hate them anymore. You will not get angry with them anymore. Instead, you have love and compassion towards them. May they have this understanding so that they themselves too may not be afflicted in the future. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. And this slowly, slowly will strengthen your understanding and lead to the cessation of it. So this is how you can develop the straightening of view through mindfulness to understand all this. Then you will have this ability to arise the right effort to abandon them. Then later on, when you have this right view and understanding stabilized, then the moment your mindfulness see, it will have the ability to prevent them from arising, because they cannot come back through the back door again to deceive you. Again, like what Sister Alicia used to say. The wrong thought last time, because she went through depression, she saw, and she straight away knew, it's coming back again through the back door. I have enough of you, that's it, finish. You don't even want to think. Last time, that thought will condition the negative thought, because that will remind her of the old scars of memory, the fear, the phobia, what people did to her, and all those things. So the atta, the self-delusion, the mark of a self and others, doing all this, leading to all the delusion. She straight away saw that these are all not what it is. These are all mental movement, sankara anichang, sankara dukkang, finish. It ceases to be. No more. That's how you overcome all this negative tendency, wrong thought. Because you have contemplated, reflect, how it leads to suffering and misery, how your karmic nature will fall, where they are evil, root of. So all these dhamma are very powerful. Then you can move on to the fourth way that the Buddha teach. He said you have to investigate into the origination factor. Then retrospectively reverse it. You ask yourself, yeah, all this while, why did I get angry? Why did I have this selfishness? Why did I still have this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation? How did they arise? When you are mindful, the next time you realize, oh, when you are aware that greed has arisen, fear has arisen, selfishness, emotion, negativity has arisen, then you know, because you can trace through mindfulness the immediate happening before this stirring of mind, before this evil root come to be. Then you realize it's always from the sense door, one of the sense door. Even your slight dislike, aversion, is always from the sense door. Like you smell something pungent or something smelly that you don't like. This is a wrong view, because you have this duality, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sensation, or habitual tendency, like Christina said. So there are habitual tendency in you. So habitual means automatic, they just react and stir and perceive it with negative. When you start to see all this very slight aversion and dislike, or stirring of mind through delusion, then you realize this is still a defilement. Then the major one are the one that you see with your own eye, or you hear through your own hearing consciousness. And sometimes you are taught through memory, scars of memory, your phobia and all that. So when condition arise for the mind to recall through memory, the past, scars of memory, the phobia, the wrong view, the habit, all they will arise. Then you realize that is the origination factor. Yeah, these are wrong views that I have accumulated, stored in the brain, that I have been holding on to, reacting to. They are my wrong view, wrong thought, delusion. So what must you do? You have to straighten your view and ask yourself, how can I not react again? How can I not do all those habitual things again? Yes, I need to straighten my view, to have this right view, so that I can move. So that in future, when the sense experience arises, this wisdom, yoniso manasikara, will come, and it will help me cease it. And this is how the first two right effort can be cultivated, through wisdom, through understanding, that it will cease to be. And then no more negativity already, the absence of evil is good, understand? Then after that, whatever you do will be wholesome. Yes, you are incapable of negativity, but you still don't have goodness of heart, understand? The what they call right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. These are the next four power factors within Noble Eightfold Path. You have to contemplate and reflect. Because the third right effort is the right effort to arise, the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in me. How many of you have reflected on that? Then put it into practice. Then you have to ask yourself, what constitutes right thought? What constitutes right thought? We have to repeat all this, otherwise you will not go in. You have to write it down. What constitutes right thought? Ah, you must have this kindness in you, this contentment in you, this filial piety in you. You must appreciate what people have done for you. Your ability to have this gratitude towards all those who have helped you in one way or other, provide for you, sacrifice for you, and do all those things, yeah, so that they can bring about joy, happiness in you. So this is what parent has done for you. Your sincere kayanamita or good friends has done for you. Or your good neighbor who are very kind, very polite, very gentle, very pleasant, very understanding, thoughtful. So these are all the right thought, all the virtue, all the wholesome thought. When we are contented with life, when we reflect, we still have a lot of delusion, we complain a lot, we have a lot of worry, anxiety, fear. We think we are nowhere compared to those people who are very wealthy, very rich, very successful. But you never compare with those who are very miserable, who don't have food and shelter over their head. Just now on the way here, I think I heard on the radio something, I forgot. It's something to do with contentment. You see, I was looking out where Manyuan fetched me. Then I saw all the beautiful MRT structure, the traffic and everything. Then straight away this nature understood human beings are just deluded. To have this ability to see is a blessing to you, understand or not? Ah, now I remember. Yeah, we saw this bicycle, cycling, you remember, Vanya? Yeah? Along the highway? Ah, you remember? My wife also. He said, these are blind people, you know. They want to experience how is it like to go on a bicycle ride in the city, you know. And you know what happened? They got this bicycle, two or three to ride together. So they cross the traffic light. Somebody have to put up their hand and let them cross. Then we saw at the back the sticker, blind rider. Then they go on board. Then the other person who is not blind take them along. Do you ever contemplate how is it like to be blind where you cannot see anything? To live in this world, this civilization of ours. They got money also, they cannot use the smartphone. They cannot even have the vision to perceive the world, to understand the world, to experience the world. And you are still complaining despite what you have, all your senses there. What about deaf people who can't hear, who can't have a proper education? What about those who are blind and deaf? Those who are born defect, okay, orang kurang upaya. You never reflect and compare with all these people. You are already so blessed. Born as a human being with all your senses in order. You somehow don't have contentment, don't have gratitude, don't have all this understanding. You somehow want to complain over small things. Because you are so deluded. You compare against the wealthy, the rich. You think when you have money like them, you will be very happy. But I can tell you, without the Dhamma, you are miserable. With the Dhamma, you can be very poor. You are still very happy. very contented. How to change your life destiny depends on your understanding of the Dhamma. They are blind, they are poor because of karmic reason behind. That's why the Buddha said we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, condition is supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when you understand this, you have to take care of karma. You have to vow not to repeat all this. Then you have to ask for forgiveness if you have done any of this. Then you have to vow from now onward to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, to good and pure. But if you don't cause any of this karmic negativity, there will be no condition for your karma to have this type of friction, understand? So that you are not born in that way. Then like I used to say, to be born as a human being, to meet up with the Dhamma, to be born during the sasana, you are already so blessed and so fortunate. And yet you don't know how to appreciate this good condition that you have. You still become unhappy, getting angry over nothing, getting all the heedless thinking, the deluded thought, creating all the wrong view, the heedless living. What are you doing? That's why when you reflect, contemplate and understand with all this right thought, to be appreciative of life, appreciative of what you have received through your good karma, your good condition, then put in the right understanding and the effort to cultivate accordingly, so that you can have this beautiful understanding to be a blessing to all. And when you do that, like the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. In future, when you come, you will receive all these things back in a very, very fast and different way. But the way you give is so effective, so penetrative, so beautiful. So in future, when you come, you will receive them very fast too, very effectively. But if you don't have all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right understanding, you don't have this contentment, sympathetic joy, love, compassion, understanding, even your character, your pleasantness, your gentleness, your goodness, your kindness, they are very important. When you approach somebody, there's a right speech is very important. May I help you? Can I be of service to you? Pardon me if I have said something wrong. Forgive me if I'm wrong or if I make a mistake. You can say this to anybody, to your spouse, to your good friend, to your parents. Express your love towards them, your appreciation towards what they have done for you. They have given you life, they have sacrificed for you, they have cared for you, they have provided all this for you. Just thank them for taking care of our family, for sacrificing so much for our family, for giving us a good education, for giving us all the good requirement to confront life, to meet life with understanding. Then when we are sick, we thank you for your love and care. Sometimes parents sacrifice without you knowing. They are sick, but they don't want to say that they want to save money. But when you are sick, they never hesitate to just bring you to see the doctor, the specialist and all that. And they really, if they can afford, they will pay. Even for your education, they can really save all this hard-earned money waiting for the day to see you going to college or university. Yeah. And you cannot appreciate what they have done for you. You cannot have the understanding to repay their kindness, to develop the filial piety towards them, to repay your love, your understanding towards them, then you are not a human being. You are not worthy to be a human being. You don't do your duty. And in future, when you come back, it's the same. You will have children that will neglect you, like what you did to your parents. But you treat them well, look after them, understand them, express your filial piety towards them. You will have children who understand you, care for you, provide for you in future. So all this is understanding law of karma. So if you want to change your life destiny, you must follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. Do good. And purify your mind to develop wisdom so that you will not be afflicted by the realities of life and existence. So all this is what the Dhamma can do for you, and it's free. If you still cannot see all this, if you choose to live your heedless life, take things for granted, and always say, yeah, one day I will cultivate, that one day may never come. And for your information, some of you may not know, within 1 month, 2 of my uni mates passed away. 2 days ago, another one. Ong Duen Li, I think electrical one. Earlier on was my roommate, Do Chun Ho, I told you. So, we are not that old actually, 62. They are 1 year younger than me, and I'm 63. And of course, Sui An is the youngest. But 10 of our classmates is gone, you know. By the time we hit 75, 50% will be gone. And the probability of you are in one of the 50% is very high. Nowadays, you don't take care. You don't have the understanding. You don't have this Dhamma. You may not know how to die. You may die with misery, with fear, with uncertainty, with a lot of doubt and delusion. But when you have the Dhamma, you can laugh at the dead, like my teacher said, Acayantra. You must know how to die before you die. Then you become beautiful. Then you will understand nothing dies. And your nature never dies. The eternal nature can never die. But it's not you. It's the nature. It cannot come out and live life. But it can come through a formic mind to live the wonderful mind, alive. That's why in the Heart Sutta it's mentioned, when you understand true emptiness, life is wonderful. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. And this is what cultivation is all about. So this is a very important aspect. To change your life destiny is very easy. Each and every one of us have the ability. You just have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, the good, and purify the mind. And that is basically Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, meditation. Noble Eightfold Path. So, I will continue with the Noble Eightfold Path. Right thought, right speech is very important. We more or less finish right thought and right speech. What about right action? What are the right actions that you have to do? Of course, the thought will follow. Right thought will condition right action. Right speeches, how we say, kind, pleasant, and gentle speeches. Good speeches that lead to understanding, harmony, love, no negativity. These are all the right speech. Speech that can give people hope, can calm people down, overcome their fear, especially when you are in the emergency services. The way you approach the caller is very important. They are usually panicked, stricken by accident or certain catastrophic happening. So if you still don't have this ability to speak kindly, lovingly, gently, to calm them down, to help them along, they will be crying, grief, with tremendous fear when the call comes in. That's why you have to have all this, otherwise you cannot do your part. Then when it comes to right action, what are right action? Give example, so that you know how to live this. Because you have to arise the right effort to develop the right action that are still not in you are in be good sadhu. Yes, that one is one of them, very good. So, you see, when you can restrain, means undertake the training rule, not to kill and not to harm, that is to keep to the first precept. That is right action. No killing. No harming. Then no selfish intention to deceive people, to cheat people, understand? Then don't go and commit sexual misconduct, understand? These are all wrong actions. Do you understand? Then have this right thought of generosity, kindness. So when you donate, it becomes action, understand? At the thought level, you just say, I must have generosity, understand? It's not action yet. When you really understand when there's condition for you to help, to make offering, donation, like to Kayamita Fund, then Kayamita Fund, make offering for wholesomeness. Then sometimes it's to help relieve suffering, like Tsuji, you donate to Tsuji, they do on your behalf. So this generosity is a type of kind action. Then the love, to be of help, to be a blessing to all. Then you translate it into action to go and help people, like what people has done. Some of these people, they volunteer to go to Tsuji to help and do all these things. Now they even have this, what they call, because there's a lot of kidney patients, they even have this dialysis center and other things to help people. Yeah. Then some, they volunteer as hospice helper and other things. Then there are many ways to arise the right action. To be kind to people, to be helpful. Sometimes your neighbor has problem, emergency. Your friend, your colleague, or even Kayamita, they call out. We have to act, we have to act if there's condition. That's why we will do our part. And all this you can learn through your own understanding. When you are observant, when you are mindful, you can develop all this understanding. Then you can broaden your understanding of what constitutes right speech, right action, and right thought. First thought level, then it becomes action, speech, appropriate, proper, gentle, blessing, good speeches that brings about love, harmony, understanding. These are all right thought, leading to right speech. Then right action means all actions that are very noble, born of understanding, born of love, contentment, generosity, also kindness, goodness, harmony. Then there are a lot of voluntary work when there is condition, even sharing the truth, sharing the Dhamma, when you have the ability to teach people. Do you know why you are like that? How come your life is so miserable? Do you want to have the understanding to change your life destiny so that you not only can become a better person, it will also help you to have the good life, to transform you personality-wise, character-wise, so that it will bring forth the good karma. You only need to have this understanding to follow the advice of the Buddha. Change the way you live life so that you have more wholesomeness, more kindness, more goodness, more beneficial action, speech, and thought process. So all this can lead to dramatic change of lifestyle via understanding. Then your destiny will change. You don't have to waste your money on feng shui and fortune teller and other things, don't you? Just take care of karma. Karma will take care of you. Develop more merits, more wholesomeness, more kindness, and your life will change beautifully. And you will have the good life. The beautiful karmic inheritance. Every life you come, you become beautiful. So this is what the teaching is all about. And through this, you can become beautiful. So the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, they will become automatic as you develop the training of the Dhamma, the understanding of it. And your noble eightfold path will take off. And it becomes the embodiment of you. You will have this in your character, your personality, in the way you live your life. you manifest those noble qualities. That's why they are called noble ones. Then to finally develop the third part, the second part, samadhi. Because sila is the first one. Sila will bring you all this understanding. Then samadhi is to purify your mind. That's why you must train your mind to have this, destabilize it until it becomes collected and unwavering samadhi. With sati and samadhi, you will have the ability to see things as they are. Rising the wisdom, the understanding. Then you will penetrate the three universal characteristics. You will understand the deep and penetrative teaching of the Buddha. Then you will understand what he meant by anatta nature, non-self nature. Then you will have the understanding of no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living beings, no mark of life, no mark of Dhamma. All this become beautiful. Then from there, your mind liberates. No more delusion. Nothing can give rise to suffering. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path can bring about the wisdom to end all suffering. Then you can realize enlightenment, Nibbana. And this is basically what the teaching is all about. So you should thank Sister Christina for putting out such a good question for sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I will end my sharing now, so that you can have time to ask other questions or maybe ask further questions. Or anybody you want to share any of your understanding, you can. Now we should move into cultivation, you understand? The theory and love is all in the notes. It's only a matter of understanding it and putting it into practice. Cultivation is more important. The emphasis should be on cultivation. Okay, well, I have a drink. You all can raise your hand if you got anything. Yeah? Any question? Thanks, Christina. Come. Anybody wants to ask any other question, or share whatever you want to share? Can you all follow or understand what is being shared? Good. You can. It's good. Oh, now we let Christina say a few words. The host must say a few words. Yeah, Christina. Yeah.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kalayamitas. Thank you all for the presence and also the good food. So actually, the question that I asked that I wrote to Brother Teo, because I encounter quite a number of people come and ask me things. So actually, I asked them to come to Dharma class, because I say. I cannot explain too much.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
are the contemplation that
yeah,
I've gone
have,
through.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's why they had to come to the class. Otherwise, they find it very difficult to learn. Because
very difficult.
You don't expect to understand something if you don't put in the effort, the sincerity to learn. If you have the good condition to come across this teaching, this sharing, but you didn't express that desire or the passion, the understanding to learn because you don't see the importance of it. So your priority is somewhere else. The question is very simple. If you continue to do the thing you do now, the suffering, the problem will still be there. True or not? The only way to change your life destiny, to overcome your problem, is to change. And how can you change? You can only change with faith, with understanding. Whatever that can help you will bring forth the change. You will see the result yourself. But by doing those things that you have been doing, you know it's not leading you anywhere and bringing you more pain and more suffering. The obvious question is, you have to change. You have to find out something else that can improve your life, change your life destiny. Then give it a try. You've got nothing to lose, isn't it? But it also depends on your karma. In the past, you teach people the wrong thing, you will also go back to those people who teach the wrong thing back to you. Well, in the past, you teach people the wrong thing. It's like meditation. You have been teaching people those methods and techniques that take people to the wrong path, or deviate, or go to Holland. You will also end up going to those type of meditation that will teach you the same thing. That's why you reap what you sow. But if you can feel from that person who tried to help you or suggest to you, like the classmate used to tell me, last time they know Christina in the school, very backward, English also broken. Then all of a sudden, with so much problem in life, emotion, suddenly she can become so different. And then you see that this person must have something that has helped her tremendously. And this one don't need money. You don't have to go and believe anything. You only have to understand, then decide what you want to do with your life. You choose to be heedless, remain what you are. That's your life. That's your choice. Nobody is going to force you. Yeah, this is something that those who understand, they just share with the world. The world will have to decide what the world wants. Those who are deluded, they may not have the condition. But those who have the condition, they might still be deluded. So that's why if you have the condition and you are still deluded, at least you have a chance. That you have the condition to listen to the correct Dhamma, the truth, the understanding. Then the window, the opportunity, the chance is for you to decide. If you miss that window, you set your priority wrongly, then you will miss it. To me, the choice is very simple. If you just use your conscious mind, I don't say logical mind, the conscious mind to reflect. You can observe what he shared with you, whether there is reason for you to give it a try or not. If it doesn't benefit you, just let it be. But if you listen and realize this is something so different that you never heard before, and it's so impressive that it can bring forth so much change to an individual. And this one comes from the Buddha, who is a fully enlightened being. It's not just from somebody who suddenly tell you, I have realized the truth. There's no meaning, like I told Ingvi, because I don't come with a uniform, with a qualification and all those things. Nobody know my nature. I'm just an ordinary person, married somehow, with children somehow. But then, you will never know. You can never tell a person based on what you see physically. You have to listen to them. You have to feel them. This is what life is all about. If you don't listen with an open mind and feel them and develop the understanding and take what is good for you, suitable for you, then try it out. Move. And you will be able to find out for yourself whether it's really beneficial or not. And the easiest check is like what the Buddha said, if I follow his instruction, does it harm me? Does it harm others? If it doesn't harm you, it doesn't harm others, what have you got to lose by giving it a try? The only thing you may lose out is time wasted on doing it. Understand not? But if you can sense, feel, then you will know, because this is something that is so different. And it's so like very, very obvious to you. If I change over for the better, my life will improve. Why can't I give it a try? These are very easy things. Speak nicely, pleasantly, gently, appropriately, with love. No deception. No anger, no violence, no delusion, no selfishness. Have kindness, have goodness. Be sincere. If you do this to your own family member, you will see the result immediately, I tell you. Within a matter of days, they will know, wow, my mom has changed, or my dad has changed. He never talked to me like that before. Last time, every time I get angry, raise the voice, then throw tantrum. The hell with you. You are not happy with the food, you can go and get your own food. And always becoming miserable, unhappy. The anger, the hatred, the delusion, the evil. That to me is not life, that is suffering, that is misery. Why can't you see all this? And it's so easy to differentiate, isn't it? Like I used to tell my brothers and sisters, black and white also you cannot see. That's why my younger brother, over that New Year, after I spoke to him, he changed. Immediately he changed. Yeah, I see one lead you to hell. One, give you hope, give you opportunity, turn you around, can make your life so different. What I told him is very simple. Well, he was the last child of my parent, because the age gap is very wide. So he was so pampered by my father that he become like a spoiled child. And my father loved him so much. Care for him, wash his clothes, wash his shoes, give him all the money, and he don't have to work until the age of almost 30, you know, 30 over. And one day my mother expressed to me that her only wish is the youngest child turn around. Then I heard from my father the same. Like they used to say, the mother expressed out the feeling first one. The father don't want to say anything. Just keep inside. Until my mother told me, then I called my father. Then my father agreed. He said, yeah. That one very difficult. You see. But he is like that one. You see, because he's the youngest. What can I do? Then I said, don't worry. This New Year, ask him to stay back. You tell him, I want to talk to him. Then I went back. And at first he was very scared of talking to me. Yeah, he thought I'm going to scold him or just think and reprimand him. But it turned out he also very surprised. I never say all those things. I never even get angry at him. And when I went home at New Year, he came and see me. Oh, I say, how are you now? Then at first he don't want to reply. I say, it's so difficult to tell me how are you. He said, same lah. I said, what do you mean by same lah? I haven't met you for quite a while. I said, you have grown a bit. But I heard from mom a different story. Then I started. I said, mom, her wish is very simple. She's not educated. He said, you got 9 children. 8 of them all very successful, grown up. The only one that make her worry is you, the last one. He said, if you can turn around, maybe 10% like me, mom says she will be the happiest mother in this world. Then she looked at me, you know. Then I say, dad also same. Why can't you do something not for yourself, for the sake of dad and mom? Change for the better, so that they can have that type of joy, that type of happiness. You still cannot understand what I try to tell you. Then I say, okay, now very simple. Now you listen, because I know what happened already. Well, I asked him a few questions. I say, is it true that you don't work? Yeah. Then I say, let's say once a while people got some part-time job for you, you do for 1 month, you get a salary, you spend like anything, then after that, you don't work again. Then I say, are you happy? with what you are doing now? Then he said, in a way. Okay, fair enough, I say. How old are you? Almost 30 years. Then that time, my dad also not young. I think about 60. I say, how long more can you depend on dad? Dad is going to pass away one day, maybe 10 or 20 years from now. What are you going to do without dad? Then dad is going to get old, sick. Do you have the capacity to look after him and all those things? Then he looked at me, you know. He said, what else do you want me to do? He said, I am not educated. Because he doesn't want to study. And he also cannot study. The karma is such. And he became so notorious, he whacked the disciplinary teacher, you know, in the school until he was sacked from the school. And my father worried so much, sent him down to PJ to ask me to register another school for him. After he went to that school, in less than 1 month, he became the taiko there. You know. He extorted the other student money. You know. And he formed his own group of gangster there. This type of fellow also can turn around. So why you worry? That's why after that, I warned him, I say, you better wake up, I say, because of affinity, you are my brother. That's why I'm willing to talk to you. But I say, after today, because after that he was sacked from that school also. Then he said, so easy, yeah. You bring me here, you have to bring me back now. He said, I must bring him back to Halastar. I say, your face, the skin so thick, I say, I bring you here to give you a second chance. You go and create a mess and get sacked again. You ask me to bring you back to Alastar. There is no school that wants you. Then I give him a message. If you go back, remember, I said, if you do something stupid and make your parent unhappy or suffer or miserable, that's it. I said, the condition, the affinity between you and me, finish. Then you have to go your way. But if you didn't do any of this, you respect them, have philopiety, then you do what you have to do, then always remember, if you need help, come and see me. I even told him, when you can save some money, you come and see me. I help you to establish some investment so that you can have your financial freedom. And he remembered that. Then after that, he went back. That's why after he went back, then I heard my mother. Then I decided to talk to him during that Chinese New Year. Then when I went back during Chinese New Year, that's why he very scared I scold him and all those things. Then luckily, he came to know that he didn't offend my parents. But I said, Mom is worried for you. Likewise, Father never talked to you this way, but he relayed to me that he hope you can turn around. Why not we do it together? I said. Then he said, can man, you all like treat me like write me off already. So nobody want to talk to me. Nobody like respect me because they say everybody look at me one kind on it. Like he useless. I say it's the way you behave, and so the way you created it through your karmic. But all this can turn around if you decide to change for the better. Oh, then only he start to listen. I say, as brother and sister, very easy for us to help you. I let you decide your life. You make your own decision. But what we can help you is very easy. I got three options for you. I said. First option, you go and work for the other brother that inherited my father's business. The medical shop, Chinese medical shop. And start from rank and file, you come out. Second option, I got another elder brother who got a factory, manufacture something. You go and work for him, from rank and file, you come out. Third option, you become your own boss. I said. For us, it's not going to be something expensive. Your Alastar, the shop lot rental is very cheap. I think less than 1,005 a month, a good location at that time. So I say we can rent a shop. We prepare to give you 6 months to try you out. Maximum we lose 9,000. That's it. But if you make use of this opportunity and you come out, you have a business. You can have a family. You can have your good life. I say this type of business is very simple, not sophisticated. You don't have to sell Chinese medicine like the other brother who inherited my father. The other one you have to learn. This one you just sell like sundry thing, understand? Like those the day to day people use, like 7-Eleven or even the newsstand or maybe the newspaper or whatever. Yeah. A mini market and all those things. Then he was so happy, you know, for the first time he got a chance to prove himself. You know. He said, okay lah. He said, he don't like to go to my the other brother at the medical shop. He cannot get along with him. He said, okay, I try out at the elder brother. Go and join him at the factory. Then he turned around. You know, he became so different. You know. That's why he, after that, he remembered what I told him. You know. Then he talked to my father. My father helped him to call me, say he got money already, asked me to invest for him. Then later on, he even asked me, he said, is it true? You used to tell me you got money to donate, then money will come. I said, 100% true. You have done a part of me, money will. He straight away, because he makes some money from the stock market. He said, okay, donate. At first, it's just 200. Then after he donate, the money comes more. Then he donate more. Then he have faith. Then he said, how to learn this teaching? I say, you Chinese educator, you drop out after, actually supposed to be standard 6 drop out. You are form 3, I buy him some modern answer book. He just creep through and get an A to go to form 4. Then gonna kick out by the discipline teacher. So I say, you don't know English, you read Malay newspaper, your Mandarin also half past 6. Nobody can teach you, I said. Then I remember Ciji. I said, okay, you go to Ciji. Then surprisingly, he go to Ciji. He learned so much thing. He starts to become different. Then he asked me, what is Noble Eightfold Path? Ba Zheng Dao. He knows the Mandarin. Oh, I said, this is a very good teaching, Noble Eightfold Path. Then after I explained to him, now I understand, is it? When he heard from the Si Xiong Si Jie, he cannot understand, is it? Then they asked him to install the Da Ai Tai. So at the Da Ai Tai, he listened, he also cannot understand. But he said, after I go by Chinese New Year, explain to him what the Four Noble Truths is, what Noble Eightfold Path is, he understand. Then he said, now I understand why they say, Suo Hao Hua, Zuo Hao Si. Then have good thought, all this thing. Then the Four Noble Truths, of course, Kuji, Mietao, all this start to understand. That's how after that he went and helped. He also supported Ciji, make donation. Then he was the one that bring the other brother and sister of me to Ciji. That's how he became what it is. Then he became very successful. And his life changed. His destiny changed. He doesn't know how to study. He very scared the children also like him. Turn out the children did so well. He said like very funny one. He got some friends who also in Ciji, also like him, don't study. Then once they join Ciji, do all those things. The children also turn around and good at study. You know. And they are good children. Yeah. So recently, one of the daughter already went to Ireland, UK, graduating soon, I think. Yeah. 1 more year. One. Then the second one, the result also very good, want to do medicine. Because I think he is going to send him. So all this, it is like you can see their life change, their destiny change, just because they change. Then after that, there were conditions for us to bring our parents. That was the year, Chinese New Year, before my father passed away, about 6 months later. He passed away in the year 2004. I remember 28th of July, my daughter's birthday. Then that Chinese New Year, which was, I don't know, January or February, I decided I felt something. I said, I bring my whole family, very big family, 9 family, with all the children, the brother-in-law, sister-in-law. We take our parents for a real New Year holiday trip to a resort, Hap Kiao Resort in Thailand. Further up from Hap Chai, Songkla, that is like near the sea, a very beautiful resort. And my father was so happy at that time, so much joy. And he even told me when we were there, we took the photo, oh, he said, this is really life, is it? To see all his siblings, his grandchildren, grand-grandchildren, the daughter-in-law, such a big family gathering with so much joy, so much happiness. And we took a big family photo. 40 over of us went down. We booked almost 10 to 12 rooms. And we almost booked a big portion of the resort. So that's what filiality and understanding are. And my dad was so happy. That's why later on at my dad's funeral, I reminded my mom that he started to understand. And all this was meant to be. So have faith. Your life can change when you have this understanding, this teaching. Your destiny can change. And you can become beautiful. Like my brother, like that also can turn around. Who else in this world cannot turn around? Written off already, you know. He can just turn around like that. I only talked to him for 2 hours or so. Then he made the decision. Then I told my father, okay, good. He already agreed. Let us give him the opportunity. Then really, after that, they treat him differently. He was willing to change. And when he started working, everybody was so happy. My mom was so happy. My dad was so happy. And when he got his first month's salary, he himself was so happy. That's why after that, and then within the next few months, he decided to get married. Where he confident already, he got a job already. Otherwise, he did not get married. Then the wife turned out to be a good wife too, from the same hometown. But for the wife to actually marry him is a big reason. At that time, he was so notorious, I tell you. But meant to be karma. And now the wife also have faith in Suji, and they have good life. And she got all daughter, I think. 3 daughters, 3 girls, no boy. Although he not educated, but he really living a very good life. And he learned a lot of things. I was so surprised now he can communicate with me in English through WhatsApp. Like Christina learned from scratch. Then he now read all sorts of paper, Chinese paper. Then the business news, because he know how to talk to the banker and all those, I think must be private banking people. Sometimes he send me news on the investment side, more update than what I receive. Sometimes I was surprised. And he really, the way he do things, like he have a lot of understanding. He learns so fast. He every time call me and discuss a lot of things with me. And then he used to tell my mother, oh, mom, is it? We all really stupid. We got a brother like that who understands so many things we don't know how to make use of you. But many years before that, when my mother say you can be 10% like a girl, my mom will be the happiest mom in the world. You know what he told my mom or not? He tell my mom often, he said, everybody like a girl. This world all engineer already. Nobody will be like him. He like that negatively replied to my mother. So my mother got so angry. He said, you remember what you say. And later on, he really apologized to my mother. He said, yeah, mom, you are right. He said, we are really stupid. He said, don't know how to make use of a girl's understanding. That's why he can turn around. And this was one of the classic thing that can happen and make my mom and my dad so happy. Okay? Any more questions? Otherwise, we can end. You all can rejoice if you want to. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Anybody else? want to ask any question or add anything? Okay, if nobody, then maybe we end. Huh? Then next week, Friday, I think is a clang talk. Clang talk. Yeah. I think Brother Gan will text me normally either Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah. But Sui Ann not around. No? Is Sui Ann back? Oh, so good timing, huh? Friday he may still be around. Okay. He is in Perth. He and Mi Fong, they are in Perth. Okay. We just let it be. If he's back, maybe you all can coordinate with him whether he's bringing the recorder or. Twitter. Twitter is what day? Oh, cannot be in time. If Friday cannot be in time, don't pressure you. I think maybe you are free or not? Can next Friday? You all bring the recorder. Then I think Mimi and the husband will come and fetch my wife and me. Okay, good. So, shall we end? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours or so. Then we can also at the same time share this merit with all beings, starting with the devas. Akta satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. Ita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punya kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones, that we end.
Dear brothers and sisters, can we say sadhu 3 times to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo to coming to expound Buddha Dharma teaching today?
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
And also sadhu to all who brings food today for the house dana. Yeah, and also sadhu to Manyan for fetching Brother Teo to my house today.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu.
So that is recorded.
Hello, everybody. Our next month's house dana will be in Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's,
house
on 16th
of
July in Glen.
So guests can come between 11 to 11:30. Then 11:30, like today, we start our chanting and puja offering. It seems some SJBA people may leave after 11:30. So never mind, let them come later. We can have our food, then they can join us. No problem. Those who can make it early can come early. Then we also must thank Brother Timo and Sister Pamasri today for bringing the recorder, so that we can get this recorded today's sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also, I saw Christina, classmate, today bring a lot of food. Sadhu, sadhu. We should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She has to call a strong guy, Jin Hao, to help to deliver him. So we should thank Jin Hao too. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So learn to rejoice and have more and more joy in your life. Like the message there. Live, love, and laugh. When you have joy, you can laugh. Your life is for you to have this joy in you, happiness in you. That's why the laughter can bring forth a lot of good memory, good condition, for good, what they call fellowship and all those things. These are the affinity that you create unknowingly through interaction with people, where you have understanding, you have Dhamma, and you can bring forth love, laughter, understanding. That's how you can really live life. And this is a lot of harmony, a lot of joy, a lot of they call good fellowship, that can bring for good condition for people to share their understanding, then to have the good memory of their happy moments together. That's how it strengthens your friendship, your relationship, just like Kayanamitas. That's why you understand everything is Dhamma. When you don't understand, everything becomes problem. So understanding is very important. Understanding is wisdom. The lack of understanding is ignorance. That's why ignorance will condition suffering ultimately. Wisdom will condition wonderful existence, beautiful life, goodness, wholesomeness, kindness. So you need to have understanding, which is wisdom, to really enable you to have a good life. Okay, thank you so much. Sadhu, yeah, Christina suggests we have a group photo, so that we can also put it into our website. All this will help us record the activity. We can maybe, how shall we sit? Against the image. You all arrange. How shall we sit? Maybe I put my chair there. Okay.